You're listening to SBS News.
Nearly 2 years after the failed referendum saw a First Nations voice to Parliament shot down by Australian voters, some NGOs and state governments have been taking matters into their own hands to follow the wishes of the majority of Indigenous communities in Australia who voted for this special representation. In the latest development, the Public Health Association of Australia, the country's principal non-government organisation for public health, has announced they'll be instituting an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice to help guide their work after a near unanimous vote by their members. SBS spoke to Dr. Summer May Finlay, a Yorta Yorta woman, an associate professor at the University of Wollongong, and the vice president Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander of the Public Health Association. So, Dr. Finlay, tell me about the association's new First Nations collective voice and how you imagine it can improve public health efforts for Indigenous Australians.
I'm really pleased that the Public Health Association and its members agreed and supported the constitutional change that embedded a First Nations collective voice into the Public Health Association. What this means going forward is that we're going to have an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander collective front and centre on all things that impact our mob, which is really, really exciting. It was actually the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander members that really drove this particular agenda with the support of the CEO and the team and the board. So it wasn't the PHAA thought that there was maybe not enough, but it's just best practice and good practice to do this. After the failed referendum, we really wanted to make sure that we were honouring the model that the vast majority of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people supported. And I think the Public Health Association has done this. As I said, the Public Health Association for a very long time has been very good in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander space, but this essentially is just levelling up. And my responsibility now is to essentially set it up. So create the collective and start doing the work that needs to be done for our mob.
And how will that change the everyday practices of your organisation?
So what the collective voice will do is actually ensure that we're having an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander focused voice from a range of different perspectives. So it allows members and non-members to actually engage through the Public Health Association. Not everyone's going to be a member of the Public Health Association, let's be honest, but so many Aboriginal people do public health, and we want to make sure that we're hearing from the diverse range of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people from around the country.
We understand that there's been some mixed progress when it comes to the closing the gap targets, especially when it comes to health outcomes. Could you speak to any particular public health challenges that your association is trying to address?
Look, there's a whole range of health issues that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people face. I think some of the most pressing issues for me are suicide. So we've seen that the closing the gap target has gone backwards. And this is for a range of reasons. So this is mental health, but also social emotional well-being. Suicides are really a symptom of broader systemic issues that relate to education, housing, employment, all of those kind of things. So I think that's probably one of the issues that really needs significant attention. The other issue I think that's really important is we know that mob actually go to the doctor later or present at hospital when they're quite sick. So I'd really, and part of that is because they don't feel safe in the healthcare system. We have a lot of Aboriginal community controlled health organisations around the country, but not every Aboriginal person has access to one of those. So what we actually need to see is non-Indigenous health providers at both the GP, so the primary healthcare level, as well as the tertiary level, the hospitals, actually being able to deliver culturally safe care. I am a patient at times, and I've experienced, as someone with the high levels of education, not great care because I'm Aboriginal, and I've been able to advocate for myself, but I know a lot of mob don't have that. So what we really need is health professionals to step up and lift their game, and the organisations to stop having policies that really unintentionally often don't work for our mob. So, for example, during COVID, people weren't allowed to go into birthing suites and celebrate the birth of a baby. And really, our mob are so centred around children. And also, you know, having these restricted hours also means that sometimes mob can't actually go and see people. And we want to celebrate those milestones. We want to support the mum within those early days. So I really think that's another area is actually early child care. And in particular, one of my particular focuses, which I think is something that needs to be looked at, is breastfeeding. We need to increase the breastfeeding rates to give our children the best possible start at life. So I think we've got to look at a whole range of things from, as I said, access to culturally safe care, looking at what's driving the suicide rates and supporting children in those first couple of days of life through improving lactation and breastfeeding.
And do you think associations like yours need additional funding from governments to make real headway on these issues?
Look, I think what it is that we know, and under the Closing the Gap priority reforms, is transitioning the mainstream funding to Aboriginal community controlled or Indigenous led. I actually think what we need to be doing is that, and also transforming government. So, transforming government means we need governments to start thinking differently about the way they deliver health and about the way they work with our mob. So, quite frankly, it's really not about more money, it's about doing better with the money that we have and making sure that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are front and centre in the decision. Decision making. We know our communities best. We need to be making sure that those people are heard on the ground and locally.
Can you explain a little bit about how your association works in tandem with those First Nations community-controlled organisations to address some of these issues? And do you imagine adding this First Nations voice could perhaps enhance that collaboration?
So the Public Health Association of Australia is based in Canberra, where a lot of the peak bodies are. We all have relationships with all of the peak bodies, and we often work in collaboration with them. So recently, the Victorian Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation has reached out to ask us to support a particular submission that they're putting in. And so we will continue to do that. What this will allow, though, is to have a range of different perspectives and really increase our reach in our network to ensure that we're really being able to deliver more and more effectively for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. The relationships are still there. It's really just about a now a formal pathway for our relationships to grow and strengthen.
And regarding the First Nations voice, would you like to see other NGOs take the initiative to better engage with their First Nations members or surrounding communities?
I would really just like to raise the bar a little bit and call on other non-Indigenous organisations to really think about doing something similar. The Public Health Association is the first organisation that I'm aware of to embed something like this in its constitution. And really, I think non-Indigenous organisations out there should start be starting to think about doing the same.
Sam Dover, SBS News.